Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. My name's MG.
I'm Dustin.
And that we just heard, Here We Go Again by Random. Used to be called Mega Ran, but now he's called Random. Or used to be called Random, now called Mega Ran. Can't remember, but he's really cool. He's like one of those Mega Man rapper type people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's really good.
I remember when Mega Man defeated Rat Man and you get all the abilities.
Dude. He just spins on the one of the DJ man.
He's like, yo, I should have brought a weapon. And you just shoot him once and he dies.
Well, it depends on the decade of rapper that you are. Like, you maybe have a weapon.
Yeah, he was one of those death row robots they had.
Oh, my gosh. That's cold open to a weird show. It's a different open. It's not cold open, but different open to a show.
Yeah, it's like the West Coast, East Coast rap battles going on.
This is the show where we talk about
Suge Knight and P. Diddy.
Oh my, please, no.
Are we going to get caught up in this now? Is it over now? I think it's over by now.
This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff, typically. last week was a bit of a failure on our parts. We let the old show run, and that was mainly on me because, the last 2 weeks of my life have been a whirlwind of like professionalism. Unfortunately, professionalism forces like video game fun.
I know about professionalism. A burp couldn't be better timed.
And you're just drinking water. How are you doing that? You usually have to like, you know, that's how Justin Roiland does it. He just drinks water and beer at the same time to like force burps to happen when he's doing
real. Oh, really?
Yep.
Is that how it's done?
Yeah, that's how he does it.
That's interesting.
Yes, that's exactly
it. Oh, jeez.
The last couple weeks I have been really hardcore into moving into this new house and setting it up, and there have been inevitably just like a few moments in my life where it's like I get some downtime and I can play a couple games. And then professionally, I had all this training that I were going to a new system, and I had all this training that had to be done. So, it's not like I go someplace for this training. I can do it on a computer. So, I was doing it at work, and people kept coming in and bothering me. So, I was like, "Look, this training starts at 8, and it ends at like 1. I'm just going to stay at home and do this training. I'll be able to remote in. I'll be able to do whatever, but I'm going to do this training at home. So, I've been staying at home doing this training." But unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, or I guess a week ago, the training overrode our normal record time. And I didn't realize that I did not tell you that in the meantime. So, sorry, everybody. It was totally on me. That was my fault. We're going to make up for it, though.
I've started eating part of my water bottle.
How have you been? It's been a while it's been a while since I've seen you. How are you? How are you doing?
Put his hand on the table.
How are you?
I'm doing another show very tired.
Right.
Which is a very, the shows get pretty interesting.
Oh, I was like, is the other show called Very Tired? Because that seems like a
good
show.
Holy mackerel, what a good idea for a show.
Yeah, Very Tired. You just stay up for 3 weeks and then you try to do a radio show.
That's 3 weeks is like, I become an insane person.
And then you die.
And then I murdered everybody around. I'm insanely tired. I've been eating all day, trying to pack my body.
Yeah.
I finally got a decent
that body is packed, son. Got a nice packed body.
He like bit his lip and looked at me and gave me finger guns.
Nice packed body.
Hey, we call HR today. But I finally got a decent bowl of ramen. Ever since I got back from Honolulu, I had ramen there and I was like, man,
yeah,
that ramen was banging. I need some.
Did you make it yourself or was it local ramen from somewhere?
I got it on a place in New Orleans called Nomoya.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Very, very yummy.
Nomoya Blues over. No more your blues over bad ramen.
Yep. And it was delicious and yummy. This is not a promotion for them. They do not pay us. So, but it was very
I think
very
it'd be
good.
Nice if they just, I don't know, did though.
That'd be nice. I take my payment in ramen at this point because it
thing.
Was
like,
delish.
We'll review anything for free, but you got to supply it for us. And then we also aren't going to just say nice things because you gave it to us.
Could you imagine like a heroin user like,
this is some great heroin.
Let me put this corner on Yelp.
Three out of ten.
Three.
I'll probably do it again, but only because I'm severely addicted to hard drugs. Sorry if anyone's
every
addicted
review
to.
Ends like that.
You know what? I feel like we always have to take the PC side. If you're addicted to hard drugs, get some help, man. Like there's plenty of places.
No,
out there.
Do the opposite. Take us seriously what we said, you idiot.
Oh my gosh.
Stop doubling down. What if you don't understand irony or satire? at this point, you're an idiot.
I don't know, man. I just worry about what we say now. 10 years from now, we might be trying to do something, and we just get fired for no reason.
10 years from now, I'll say the same thing. It was satire, idiot. Mm, nope. And then that'll be my own thing.
You're going to get James Gunned.
I'm going to get James Gunned. Oh, I'm going to be put under the James Gunn.
Gunned down.
That's good.
I'm
surprised.
We're going to talk a little bit about that later, I think. It's about time that we kind of address it.
But that was basically all my week, and then I was working and stuff, and then I'm playing through The Witcher again without doing New Game Plus, doing it from the very beginning.
Wow, nice. Yeah. You're going to go through all of it, right? I assume Witcher 3, right? You were talking about Witcher 3.
I got it all with Witcher 3.
Okay, so you're gonna go through, well, you said you're playing The Witcher. I was like, you're not playing Witcher 1 and 2, because those are vastly different games.
Yeah.
And they're not bad, they're just difficult.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't really have it. It was Witcher 2 I had played through twice, mm-hmm. I think, when it had come out on PC. But then, like, Witcher 3 is such a vastly
superior experience. It spoils you to video games, I think.
Yeah, it really does.
You play games like Witcher 3, and I really do believe it transports you into just a happier, more frustrating in some cases, especially if you like try to take on a big bad that like you're not ready for or whatever, mm-hmm. or you don't understand a fundamental mechanic, like you just sort of were asleep at the helm and then didn't listen.
Witcher
to
1 and 2 were like, well, you can't play those if you...
Right, you have to always be paying attention to everything the game's throwing at you. It's almost like it should just ship with a manual, because I need a reference now to look at this, but Witcher 3 is such a good game. For me, after playing, I feel like this is a what's it called? Like a help session. After playing Witcher 3, I really felt that other games weren't as good, and because they weren't like The Witcher 3, like weren't as good as The Witcher 3, like video games kind of tasted different.
Everything kind of became like, ugh, this is like Assassin's Creed Odyssey was the biggest one.
They were all neutral colors at that point.
Right, that's the biggest one.
Witcher 3 was the vivid color.
Right.
And then everything else is just this beige,
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins would have impressed me before Witcher 3. Now it's like, this is boring kind of thing.
I haven't played Origins yet.
Origins is pretty good. As far as the Assassin's Creed goes, it's a RPG system, but then again, it's like Witcher 3, it's so much more...
I really like the Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood Revelations. I liked that trilogy effectively arc.
I love the dialogue of Revelations.
Yeah.
Award-winning writing such as, this is the hook blade. It consists of two parts, the hook and the blade. And I'm like, wow, thank you.
I just love Ezio. Ezio is my favorite assassin.
Ezio is probably still the best. Yeah. He's pretty up there.
I feel like it's real better. Let's cut to two songs, come back, and talk about some more stuff.
Okay.
If you don't mind, sir.
Not at all.
Club Villain by My Favorite Martian. Do you remember Ray William Johnson?
No, he's like personally.
But you've heard of him?
I think so, yeah.
So he was like the number one YouTuber, I guess, in classic YouTube days.
You're talking early 2009 kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. He did Equals 3. And he did a few other things. I can't remember the other ones, but he was really, really, really popular. He had he became the number one YouTube channel, and then the number one YouTube band was My Favorite Martian, which was his band that he made, just kind of doing whatever. Now he's like a YouTube comedian, and he's also been in a Super Bowl ad, like a football ad for like chips or something.
Good for him.
I don't know. He's still pretty popular, just not the height of he was. Like PewDiePie just kind of destroyed all those numbers.
Right.
But anyway, Club Villain by My Favorite Martian, and then Power of Love by I-Fi Dragons. It's that Huey Lewis in the News from Back in the Future by a new band called I-Fi Dragons. So there we go.
Okay.
Dustin, I'll see you after the break.
You could tell I zoned out, and you were like, I'm not going to say anything. He's gone.
No, he's just like, he's looking through me. He's just like, why is there carpet on the walls?
That door is far away.
Yep. We'll catch you guys after the break. I'm MG.
I'm MG.
No, you're not.
Oh.
But
break.
You can be. I'll be Dustin. He'll be MG.
I'm Dustin.
We'll catch you after the break on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. Heavy pause.
You need an energy drink.
I really do. I'm so tired. I've not eaten like this in a long time.
It was a Friday night and I wanted to go out to a brand new club in town, a discotheque I heard about through a friend of mine who told me the place was a circus act for sure. And then we rolled up and saw Koopa working at the door. He lied,
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
Currently, in this phase, I am Dustin,
You're Dustin Solid.
But this is not my final phase.
Dustin Gas, Dustin Liquid.
It's not my final form.
No?
I turn it into a much meeker, a much more idiotic man in my further forms.
Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm. You explode from exasperation.
You just heard I-Fi Dragons with Power of Love, and before that, My Favorite Martian by Club Villain. Let's talk about some video games. I feel like that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about some type of video game stuff.
What a sexy idea. Right? I love it. I got some stuff right now. You want to hear it?
Sure, go ahead.
You ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. When does this air, this episode? Just make it
this
sure.
This airs, so we air it Wednesdays 9 to 10.
Okay, so the day, so we're airing it later tonight.
Yeah. So we're recording it middle of the day. Middle of the day Wednesday right now.
So tomorrow, if you guys want something cool to know, Red Dead Redemption 2, they are finally releasing some gameplay.
Nice. So a video of the gameplay, not like the beta version.
Yeah, none of that. They're going to show off some gameplay tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Nice.
11 a.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. What does BST mean? British Standard Time?
I don't know.
That might make sense, actually. British Standard Time.
Britain?
Yeah, that might be it, actually. But I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, so tomorrow morning, we're going to actually see some gameplay of Red Dead Redemption.
So not that in-engine cinematic that they trailer that they're...
Yeah, they showed off a little, like, they showed off clearly.
It was all in-engine.
It was all in-engine, but they showed off some moments in-engine.
It's insane to me. This is something that is kind of like a pet peeve of mine. I know we've never had a pet peeve show. Mm-hmm. But it's neat. I think we should come up with pet peeves and have just like a grievance show. But one of my pet peeves is whenever, and Mass Effect does this, I'm pretty sure Grand Theft Auto has done this, Horizon Zero Dawn, tons of like really big games have done this. I don't know that Zelda had did it with Breath of the Wild, but it's whenever you have such a good engine and everything's an engine. Like, there are no more cinematics because there's, like, customizable players or whatever, customizable characters. So you'll see your character, and it's like they can't just make a video of that because maybe it's not going to have your armor or whatever that you've picked out in the game.
Yeah.
But then they get to a shot of, like, the exterior of the ship that you're in or the vehicle that you're in or something that doesn't have your character in it explicitly. And it's like some compressed Bink video or something that they recorded and smashed down with the lowest codec.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying because there's a few things that happen with that. One, you can tell that it's a recorded video because there's artifacts. It's just there's no way to not have the artifacts. And then two, you have like weird resolution issues. Like if you have a really widescreen, I have a 21:9 aspect ratio monitor or whatever, so it's really super wide, like ultra wide. When I play the game, it's in ultra wide mode, and whenever I see a cinematic, it has bars around it, and it's like it's letterboxed or whatever. Or columned. It's just insane that today, and they do it to save space, right? Like they do it to save space. But I mean, hard drives are big now. We're already downloading a 60 gig game or a 30 gig game. Like it just make it in engine, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of took that away from you.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, you're exactly. It's nothing I wouldn't have also have totally agreed with.
Yeah, it's just annoying.
I know. What a jerk.
I hope.
Disagree with me on some stuff.
I hope Rockstar doesn't do that with Red Dead 2.
No, I don't think
not
so.
Like I'm not going to buy it and play it, though.
Oh, yeah. So the so very excited to hear about that. Get some gameplay trailer. I'm very excited to look into it. It's only a couple months away now.
Yeah, it's October.
October 26th. It's right down. We're looking at the barrel of it. And
that's
this
it.
Is kind of the
no pun intended.
Yeah. Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game for PS4 has gone gold.
Yep.
What that means in industry terms, by the way, is that the game is finished. And it's being sent off to go get its discs made and everything like that.
It's insane to me that we are still making discs.
I think it still makes sense because internet still hasn't quite reached all of middle of America quite yet. There's still these big gaps.
I'm not saying that. So I think that it's annoying that we're making discs and we haven't gone away from discs. I mean, we have like the Switch just cartridges. And Nintendo's always done.
You mean like a different format?
Yeah, so the neat thing about flash-based media, which the Switch cartridges are flat, effectively USB keys or SD cards,
right,
just
with
more bandwidth on them. That means that you can transfer data faster. The neat thing is that you don't necessarily have to install the game because it can load all of it off of the the stick.
That's what you like to see. It's kind of
I would like at the very minimum. At the very minimum, I would like to see something in a. I want to say a less proprietary format, like because Sony's done it with their M2 or their whatever their memory stick media. Every Sony device out there for a while had memory stick. I think it was Sony memory stick, but and then Switch is doing it with their proprietary SD cards. The reason they do that is because people are just going to copy to an SD card if they could use an SD card. They did that with the Wii. You were able to lose.
So it has to be a proprietary.
Unfortunately,
format
yeah,
for certain things.
Yeah, and then you would just lose the things. You know, like you'd have to buy these little things to hold it. People like to display their
and
their
of course the DSLR coding and stuff like that would be another way to protect themselves. Yeah,
DSLR,
not DSLR. What am I
talking
about?
That's a camera. HDCP or.
No, the content coding that goes into the games. What is it called, the initialism for it? I'm totally blanking out on that.
DRM?
DRM, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, the point that I was trying to make is that, you know, CDs were made back in the day because they were cheaper than cartridges.
Right.
And there was this kind of shifty business logic where they also scratch pretty easily, and if they scratch them, they'll have to buy another one. Cartridges right. last forever. I mean, we saw when they were unearthing E.T. and Galactica or Galaga cartridges, they could still work.
Yeah.
You know, after being buried, literally in a garbage dump.
They actually played, they turned it on and played
it. It's insane. And that's just saying, like, okay, they cost a lot to make, and then they get buried, and they can still work after a while, and you can throw them around the house. I mean, all the N64 cartridges pretty much work still.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The crazy thing about that, I think you're totally right. I didn't give it much thought, but now that I think about it, you know, it's a space saver. It could be just an easier format.
I'd rather pay, and it sounds weird, but I'd rather pay like $5 to $8 more for physical media. If I was going physical media route so that I could put it in my system, it would be instantly available. The only thing I'd have to install is like the bare minimum, because from a programming infrastructure standpoint, you're always going to have faster stuff on board. But then, like, you could, you know, the only thing you're going to store locally is like DLC or updates or something, which means that you don't have to put a 2 terabyte hard drive in your Xbox or in your PlayStation in order to play these games. That you have to then, you get the disc and you put it on there, but the disc is slow, so you have to download 60 gigs.
Yeah,
you know, I that's the first thing I remember about Xbox One was I got the Xbox One and it had like the Master Chief Collection and it had the disc and you put it in there and it was like, cool, we have to install 60 gigs worth of content.
Yeah, and
I'm
that's getting a little old already.
Right. Well, I'm like, I have a terabyte hard drive in there, but now like 60 gigs, which isn't much on
but
a terabyte
still,
hard drive.
But it goes from 940 just there.
Yeah, it's just one game.
And it interacting with a laser reader of some kind rather than just something that integrates straight with the motherboard.
Yeah, it's metal on metal contacts versus a spinning thing that, you know, there's so
goes back and forth and then has to read it, interpret it, and go whatever. It's more like an SSD drive kind of thing.
No, the downside is that, of course, that chews into profits. If there are even profits there, it chews into the profits. But it does allow you to go from golden to especially digital distribution. I would be totally fine with them releasing digital-only distribution a week or two before physical media distribution.
Well, that's how they're kind of cutting into that now. Is how they're
are
doing
they really?
It. Yeah, Infinity War is like a week before now.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. We see that with cinema a lot now.
Yeah, that's the norm now with the digital release and stuff like that. The integrating with it, I don't see it cut into profits anymore. Back when it used to be CD based, Blu-rays are a lot sturdier. I've never had to replace a Blu-ray based disc.
Well, I think
for any damages,
and I don't have any numbers on this. I'm be talking outside of my butt on this one, but I imagine the flat, like the carts for the Switch, are more expensive than like just burning it to a CD and putting a label on it.
I'd imagine so.
Especially if you have to retool a factory to do that. Like, you know, it's like whenever you need to make a major change or something like that, especially a medium one, the next console has to support it. All of the people that are programming for it, I mean, it might be a thing you have to consider. Like, how fast you can get data from here to there.
Right, because you can overload somebody's, you know, a data
bus.
They might compile it in a different way now. Oh, it's getting the data too fast. The compiler doesn't work like that.
Right, right. It actually, well, and that's back in the day, things were tied so closely, like programs and games were tied so closely to the clock speed of your CPU because we were just new to computers and we didn't make it. So we installed these turbo buttons on these computers that literally made the computer slower. when you pushed the turbo button, it did not make it faster. That was like a weird, they called it the wrong thing. But mm-hmm. whenever you pushed the turbo button, it underclocked, it devolted, or it undervolted the CPU so that you can play those legacy games on that system, because it actually would like put it back to normal, like what that game expected. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, there may be just some, and that's the thing, like that's kind of a tangent, but all of the changes you make to how you get the game from there to there, that matters. And currently it seems like we're just installing it to the hard drive, and that's the common place that everything
right.
takes it
and
from.
And it feels like this, what's the point of the CD if most of this is getting put on the
authenticate to make sure that you
authenticate
can't just
it, yeah.
can't you can't just put the CD in there, download it, and then give the CD to somebody else and they can download it and you can both play or trade it back in or something.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, I know you used to work for GameStop, but I mean,
remember those debacles.
Any type of trade-in, you know, you're going to trade this game in or whatever, that effectively, if there's no more trade-ins, like if there's right. no more physical media or substantially less physical media to trade in, then, I mean, GameStop's just going to, I guess, go the way it's going now and just be ThinkGeek, like a brick-and-mortar ThinkGeek.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, but you're right.
Interesting.
Next game we're going to move on to, another free-roaming game that we haven't heard too much from, Cyberpunk.
Oh, I was like, Fortnite.
Oh, God.
We haven't heard anything out of Fortnite lately.
Just can't wait for this year to be over game can be done. I'm sick of it. All right, anyway. I don't care about Fortnite. No one cares, really. I don't care who you are. Your emotional tie-in of Fortnite is like eating... shut up, Matt. I'm going to go on a little rant here. Hold
go
on.
Ahead, go ahead.
Listen. If you like Fortnite, that's fine. But don't think it's the equivalent of... You're eating cheese puffs. There are games out there. There are three-course steak dinner. These are cheese puffs. I'm not going to say cheese puffs aren't delicious. I'm going to say they're not very filling.
It's just made to be very easily consumable.
And easily consumed.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, you get sick of cheese puffs, and you don't remember cheese puffs. Maybe, and that's the thing. Everybody was like, oh, like cheesy like anybody, everybody who copied it was like cheesy pretzels, cheesy whatever. But it didn't matter, because all you're doing is the same vacant air bread, empty garbage over and over. Doesn't matter.
I love the analogy you're going on. I think you kind of went insane in the middle of it, but I love how you're like, it's empty just, and vacant. Yeah.
It's just butter. It's just butter, dude. Butter isn't a food. Butter's the flavor on things.
Hey now, butter's kind of a food.
Still, reminds me of the whitest kids you know with the stick of butter skit.
It's sort of.
But Fortnite is just a big thing of butter, dude. Isn't this good? It's just covered in butter.
It's the thing that's right now. I mean, it was Rocket League two, 3 years ago or a while back.
Rocket League has some depth and competitiveness that people who are into it, they can disseminate and everything and find depth to it. The objective of Rocket League is to have people play competitive with each other. You cannot purchase a cent on Rocket League and just buy the game, and you're just as competitive as each other.
I am very ready for the Battle Royale craze to end.
And then that's the thing about Fortnite and Battle Royale games. How many of them all have microtransactions?
All of them.
All of them do.
They all have microtransactions.
They all
that's
have
what the game is. In fact, if you want to get the single player version, you have to pay for that. And I feel like they should have given that to you. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, give away Minecraft for free, but if you want to play with people, then you have to pay for it. Like, that's fine. I feel like that's okay in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes back to my original thoughts of, or not. I'm not saying they were original, period. But like, to me, I felt original whenever I said it, that let me pay for the single player of a game and let it be cheaper than the multiplayer and the single player combined, because I'll probably never play multiplayer on Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever. I'll only play the single player. I just love the graphics. I love the engine. I love doing all that stuff. People that only want like multiplayer, let them pay for just multiplayer.
Fortnite is a strip club. Let me explain myself.
You were so upset.
Fortnite is a strip club. because it's doing a little song and dance for you.
And you just throw dollar bills at it.
And it's subjective. When your girlfriend does like a sexy little dance for you or whatever, something like that, that's her, like, that's like something special or whatever.
Right.
That's somebody who actually cares about you wanting to
it
give you something.
It better be something special.
And that's the thing. That's somebody who already gives you a lot, giving you something else.
Or,
that's
what or most boyfriend.
Our boyfriend. Who
we don't
cares?
Care. We don't care.
That's them giving you, whoever, your panda, I don't know, the ooh. SJWs are coming out, your whatever, attack helicopter you identify as, whatever. But whenever they do something like that, that's somebody who's given you a lot already, like most games. And then that's the something extra, something a little bonus.
Right.
When you go to a strip club and that's all they're doing, that's because all they want is your money.
Yeah, I mean,
that's Fortnite.
Okay, so it is a business. I feel like that's the thing. Like Fortnite doesn't people try to conflate all of the events in Fortnite with a story. There are things that are happening in the game that are story like stories. Same thing with Overwatch. Same thing with Team Fortress. Any of these competitive shooters or competitive games, like, you know, yeah, there's a narrative occurring that maybe even is like community driven, because what developer wouldn't go, hey, we've kind of ridden out the story we wrote, but this Reddit thread is going crazy. What if we just took some of their ideas and made them canon?
I don't care. It's the fidget spinner of games right now. It's just
it's like the hoverboard.
It's the hoverboard. It's the fidget spinner. It's the Heely Wheelies.
Yeah.
It's the Pog.
Yeah.
It's the
Razor
Tamagotchi.
Scooters. Hey man.
It's the it's 1 year, and that's how long these things last. This isn't a formula like a thing. It's like...
No, you know what? I feel like with the big giant explosion of esports, I feel like it will keep it alive. I feel like it will continue to be a thing, just like Overwatch, just like CSGO is. Like Counter-Strike maintained its kind of foothold. Not as big as it used to be, because now everybody's got a CSGO-like game, but...
Right.
I don't know. It might still be around next year. Like you might be.
I don't think so.
You might eat your hat if you had
one. I think it's doing a good job of so many people throwing their hat in the arena that it's just the market's just going to be oversaturated. And people are just going to be sick of it. And they don't care what the format is. So it's the fidget spinners of games. Let's talk about a real meal. Let's talk about Cyberpunk.
All right.
So the creator of Cyberpunk 2022.
2077.
No, the board game.
Oh.
The board game it's based off.
Okay.
Because it's a different year on the board game.
Sorry, I thought you meant the video game.
No, but the creator of it, got to play the video game.
Ooh.
He got to have some alone time with the game.
Some intimacy.
Very jelly.
Intimacy.
And he was talking about the game and everything like that. And something interesting about a lot of people were like, the game is in first-person perspective.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, ooh, I don't know if I like that.
Well, they just played The Witcher, and you're like,
right.
Gosh, Witcher, why are you so good?
Yeah.
And then they see, like, wait, this is a completely different shift of perspective.
And that's the thing. The guy, as he was playing it, he was going through a place called Rock Point,
mm-hmm.
That was in Night City. These names are cool. And he was talking about that perspective, and he goes, when you are in the first-person perspective, you're moving through, like, a busy street like this. You are in that moment. It is not like you have to be – when you're listening, you have to be aware of everything. Somebody's gossiping and everything, and you hear something, and you turn around, and you're like, wait, who said that? And because you're not aware of everything going on, it makes the world a little bit more real.
That was something I originally considered looking at games like Witcher, looking at any third-person games recently. Like, I went as far back as Mega Man Legends,
mm-hmm.
Which is either Mega Man Legends or Tomb Raider 2. That was, like, the first third-person, like, full 3D game that I've played. Mm-hmm. One of those two. I want to say that it was Tomb Raider 2 in, like, the mid to late 90s. And I noticed that, wait, I can look behind me without my character turning around. So
right.
I can run away from something, and it can cinematically shift to the Indiana Jones boulder scenario.
Yeah.
And you can see Indy running towards the camera, or your character running, you know, effectively towards the camera, and the camera just backpedaling.
Right.
And you can see more of the world without your character having to shift their perspective. You can rotate around. You're the Latka or Latika or whatever with the camera on a stick.
You're the puppet, yeah.
You're the puppet, yeah. So I liked that in some games, but I can't imagine playing like Skyrim like that. I never play Fallout like that because I don't want to be able to see more than what I'm supposed to. I hate it when people play with the FOV all stretched out real wide in like super Unreal 2K4 mode or whatever.
That's nice, but you're actually doing yourself kind of a disservice.
Well, when I play the game, I look at the world around me and I lose things on my periphery. Like I lose things there, and if I turn my head, then my ears are direct directed somewhere else. It's part of the experience, I feel.
Yeah, and that's the thing with third person and first person perspectives are two different answers to two different problems.
Right. Yeah.
Third person perspective is, oh shucks, you know, having things in first person, you don't have any spatial awareness of where your body's located. That's important for games like platformers.
Right.
Where that is really important. Uncharted Drake's Fortune just wouldn't function.
Yeah. As a first person game. Well, and the same thing with Tomb Raider. Like, it's designed to do. Yeah, I can't imagine. They did that with Mirror's Edge.
Right.
And that was an interesting experiment.
And that was an interesting experience. And then I got motion sickness from stuff like that.
Oh, man. I loved it. I love doing it, especially looking at that's another pet peeve of mine. If you are playing a first person game and you can look down and not see your feet, I am immediately upset.
Yeah. And the platforming, it has to be a balance, because the platforming perspective on Mirror's Edge, that one was an interesting twist, and that was a good selling point. I wish someone comes and revisits that.
Yeah, and we don't mean with Catalyst. Do it Do it in a good way.
Yeah, get it away from EA.
Get it away from EA, or just someone else make it. You know.
Yeah, or just use that fundamental of idea, because I think that was the problem with Mirror's Edge, was that idea of first person parkour. That's a spice.
They did that.
That's
really,
not the whole meal.
Well, so you look at games that are like Brink, and Brink tried to do parkour and it was just god awful. Right. And then Mirror's Edge, we didn't know anything about this game, and then we saw one trailer and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That game, I felt, really did that one thing really, really well. They did wall running. They did parkour. The gunplay was terrible. The fighting mechanic was pretty bad, you know, but everything else in the game, and it had an aesthetic, you know, it had a feel to it, but everything else in the game,
I think,
was
Dying
great.
Light.
Oh, yeah.
Dying Light was that did something with it, which is I was glad to see with the free roaming and everything like that.
Yeah.
I think, and that's the thing, I think Dying Light ended up kind of doing it in a little bit of a better way, because that system of parkouring and everything, that's neat for an hour.
It can't be the whole game.
That's the sprinkle. You can make a meal of that. You can't have it against.
Well, and that's something we see, I think, frequently in games. The games that don't just have a really good sprinkle. Like, there are games out there that are nothing but sprinkles.
Yeah.
The games that are anything but just sprinkles are the games we really like talking about. Zelda, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Skyrim.
Like, they may not be perfect at everything. Arguably, Zelda probably was in most of those regards pretty
Zelda,
perfect.
Zelda, the post-game is the only way the only grievance I have with Breath of the Wild is post-game.
Well, it's that's the thing. If they ended after you did the story, if they were just like, you're done. You're done. You don't get to explore anymore. You are finished. If you want to explore more, a new game plus it.
Right.
At that point, then it would maybe, because that's the thing. Like, once you get past a certain point in every game, the game is now broken, because you have excelled. You have achieved super Saiyan.
The RPG problem.
Right. Well, and it's the people, World of Warcraft recently. Oh my gosh, people are losing their mind because the levels are all weird because they're trying to do this event right before Battle for Azeroth comes out, and nothing is working. The whole leveling schema is messed up, and they've crushed and squashed these numbers because it's all math at the end of the day. And you know, it's just like you're playing D&D or some type of tabletop game, and every now and then, you know, whenever you play the same game for, well, going on, I guess, 12 years, 13, 14, 15 years now.
Yeah.
At some point, those numbers are getting so huge that it becomes impossible to develop further, develop your rule set further. So to do that, you have to then pick a point and go, well, this now, effectively, you're doing like a stock split or something on your consolidation.
It reminds me of the Fallout number crunch that you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
With those of you who don't know, Fallout 4, you can get your damage up. You do your math correctly without hacking or anything. You can get your damage up into the millions.
Yeah. It's very
simple. Because there's one problem.
The point. Yes, you know what? That's exactly the point, is that once you get to that point, there is virtually no reason to play the game except to just test out mods or something. There's no point to play the game because you've broken the game. There's nothing in the game that
there's
can
no
kill
challenge.
You. There's no challenge. You've effectively min-maxed. You can do that in Diablo 3 as well. You can just destroy anybody.
My friends Matt and Jackie like that game a lot, but then I was just like, at a point, we're just kind of grinding just to grind, aren't we?
Yeah. Let's cut to a song and come back, because I'm worried about our time. Vindicate Me by Big Giant Circle. This is the Experience Points radio show. We will catch you after the break. I am MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM.
KSLU. You almost said Experience Points again.
Yes, I did, almost.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. Oh, I'm MG.
Hey there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey there.
Why is
just hey like, there, ladies. two of you.
Those few ladies out there. You just heard Vindicate Me by Big Giant Circles. We got about 10 minutes left.
I'm Dustin.
You didn't do your thing.
Go on.
Let's talk about the big news. Let's address the James Gunn thing for like a couple minutes and kind of catch you up where we're at.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. I don't know how I feel. It's good to see James Gunn real quick for what happened about, 10 years ago?
A little over 10 years ago.
He made a weird amount of child sexual assault jokes.
It wasn't, yes and no. Yes, they were jokes about pedophilia, jokes about sexual, I think, harassment or assault or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like rape jokes. It was just like out of character, out of tasteless. And he said he was like, I was a provocateur. I was trying to get noticed for anything. I was just saying crazy things.
Yeah.
Anyway, 10 years later, from what I understand, and this could be, I don't think it's hearsay, but right. Because I've heard it everywhere, but some fairly politically motivated individuals dug up and then supplied a lot of media outlets with these tweets.
Now, right.
Since then, James Gunn hasn't done anything else like that, and for years have only been like apparently a very good director. Guardians of the Galaxy Volumes 1 and 2, works for Disney, has done a lot.
A good employee all around.
A good employee all around, hasn't done anything crazy. Didn't do anything crazy back when he was making those jokes, just made those jokes.
And that's the end of it. But he's been removed as the Guardians of the Galaxy director.
He has been canned.
He's been canned. I had to think about this one for a while because the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy really came out in support of him.
They are in support. Dave Bautista, specifically. Dave Bautista. Everybody is like, we support our director pretty much.
Dave Bautista has been the biggest.
Bautista is – he's calling people out for what I think they are. I think – I wouldn't say it as ill-eloquently as he is, but his tweets are very powerful because he's saying – I will do it while I'm contractually obligated to, but, you know, Guardians Volume 3 without the James Gunn script is not Guardians. I will ask to be removed. He's like, I am done. Like, I am done. This is a witch hunt, cyber Nazis, like, you know.
I have a theory called wait a month. If you are up against something like this, by the way, on an unrelated note, Chris Hardwick, by the way, was reinstated.
He was after a private, an internal investigation by AMC that Dykstra wasn't part of and decided she wasn't going to be part of. Did you read that?
No.
She was, I think they invited her. This was the thing. She was invited or, it doesn't really matter. She, whenever asked about it, she says, I was not part of the investigation and we don't need to drag this out. I said what I was going to say and I'm moving on with my life and I really mean that.
Huh.
And I was like, that is really interesting that, one, maybe there was no evidence to begin with, and this is it. But at the same time, even if this was a true thing, she is not going to continue to pursue it because the whole point of her saying it in the first place was to get it off of her chest, to effectively just put it out there and be like, this happened to me, and I'm going to move on now that I've said it.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, kind of neat. But he's back.
Yep, he's back. So...
I don't think anyone's apologized. Not that they need to or have to, I guess.
I don't think so at this point. I don't think anybody needs to apologize for anything.
No.
Because, I mean, Chris, either he just says, no, I didn't do that. And it looks like
it shows who your friends are, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Because, I mean, if James Gunn ever does get put back in as the director, the cast stuck by him. Bautista stuck by him, you know?
Yeah. Talk about
that. But you want Bautista by your side. I'm just telling you that.
Not to be whatever. My personal thing would have been... if Disney was asking me what to do or whatever, I'd have been playing with my mouse like I am right now, and I would have told them as nonchalantly as I tell you now, wait a month. If anybody still cares, we'll address it then.
I have a slightly different take on it, mainly because I remember the internet 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a wild west of insanity. Intentionally, and this was like high school and in my college days and everything, like you tried to say the meanest things to other people. Like you intentionally tried to be as mean as possible.
Yeah.
And that was okay. Like it was okay to be mean online. Like it was it was the normal, it was the accepted and anticipated thing.
And
I
how
feel.
Old was James Gunn when he did this? He's like 30 something now, so he's
yeah,
like in
his 20s. He was an adult.
Let him
he
be
was
in
a
his,
grown man.
Yeah, but he's in his 20s.
But like you were yeah. I think he's 30 something now or early 40s. But the point is, 10 years ago, the landscape for communication online was completely different.
Right, and Twitter was not taken seriously as a form.
And I mean, you could do things like that. You can make those jokes 10 years ago, and in context, they make sense.
Yeah.
My fear is that anything you and I say right now, that the James Gunn said 10 years ago in context of that culture, was acceptable. Maybe right. not acceptable and loved, but it wasn't so crazy in context.
Because nothing happened to him then.
I mean the landscape of communication online was mm-hmm. different, so that was an allowable thing.
Right.
What happened though is that language, those sentiments, those concepts are being judged by today's culture when they were meant for last decade's culture.
Right.
And he's getting some punishment, some discipline for something that is being judged by today's standards when if they were judged by then standards, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. It's very bizarre kind of thing. But then I also, on the other side of things, it's also very weird to me that Disney didn't do due diligence with this.
Well, that's another thing. Like, it's not an infringement of free speech or anything.
Right.
I mean, they're a company. They can fire whoever they want. It seems a little annoying that this does set sort of a weird precedent.
Yeah.
You know, that you or I could say something right now. Like, we have hundreds of episodes online of this show.
Right.
And someone...
I've said some stupid crap, I'm sure.
Right. Well, and then you could say, like, oh, I was a kid. I was stupid. Like, I don't know what I was
Let
doing.
Let me be an imperfect human being. Would that be okay?
Right.
Would that be all right by everybody's justification?
I see Roseanne Barr is getting upset because people are defending James Gunn, and she's just like, well, why did everybody get upset at me when they're not getting upset at him? He made fun of child.
Because you made
pedophilia.
A horribly racist statement
like a
today.
Month ago. A month ago, yeah. You didn't
when
do it
When everybody
a decade
knows
ago.
Better to do that.
And then you wouldn't own up to it. So, yeah, it's a little strange. But anyway, Dave Bautista came out and said, that if he's not back on and it's not his script, then I'm going to try to get
I would have, and that's the thing. I would have, it's also very, it's Disney's also a family company. That's their branding.
Yeah.
So I can understand a little bit of where they were coming from.
And they're going through a Fox merger, I think.
And
they're going through a big Fox merger
and everything
Fox.
Like that. I am of the mindset with stuff like this where the court of public opinion is hounding on somebody. I'm like, wait a let's one evaluate
is,
if really
is this just today's news?
Is this
will it be next month's news?
And that's the thing. I would have been like, don't worry about it because it is today's news.
Yeah.
And then about a month from now, it's not going to be the news and no one's going to care or remember.
Let's move on to the next thing because we got a couple more minutes before we have to leave. So recently, a game came out, Dead Cells. I haven't played this. I haven't seen this.
I actually looked it up on Steam today. I was so tired, by the way. I typed Steam into Steam.
Nice. That's when you Google.
I Google.
Don't know how to use a computer.
Gabe Newell came up with video chat, and he was like, "Are you okay?
Are you okay? Do you need some help?"
And he was like, "Half-Life," and I was like, "Half-Life 3," and he was like, "Oh gosh, darn it!" And he hung up.
Transmit Newell out.
Account banned.
So. Dead Cells came out. Apparently, it's a good game. And then this guy, this channel, or IGN puts out their review because IGN reviews everything.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you see a separate YouTuber, a YouTube channel, Boomstick Gaming, post a video response that says, IGN copied my Dead Cells review. What do I do?
Oh, boy.
And then what this reviewer, and it's a small YouTube channel. I mean, you know, it's probably a couple thousand subscribers. I can't remember how many it was, but it was a lot of. It's not like it's zero, but it's small compared to IGN.
Right.
IGN has 10 million subscribers. So in this video, this small YouTuber, the Boomstick Gaming YouTuber, goes through and plays his segment of the review that came out I think at the end of July, and then maybe like July 24th, 26th, something like that.
Ooh.
And then IGN's came out at the beginning of August, so very, very, very recently, like two or three days ago.
Goodness.
He goes through what he said in his review, and then he takes the snippet of the clip of what they said in their review. Specifically, the review was by, what was the guy's name? Philip Mukin. Or Musin,
uh-huh.
So from IGN. So he goes through and he compares and contrasts it. And it is insane. So for instance, this is one snippet, quote, this is what he said. This combat system is fast, fluid, responsive, and one of the most rewarding representations of 2D combat of the entire game. All right? So that's a snippet.
Okay.
The next one, this is what IGN says. Fights are fast, fluid, responsive, and hands down one of the most gratifying representations of video game combat I've ever experienced. That's a lot of the same words, but yes. Maybe not. Maybe just a coincidence.
Maybe a coincidence.
Okay. The next one. In most games of this genre, your coolest skills and spells are often set strictly long recharge times or a limited mana system, but in Dead Cells, your abilities have incredibly quick recharges and allow you to seamlessly integrate these gadgets to normal encounters. And then he said, the IGN review, was Boomstick, the IGN review says, most games limit your most useful skills with long cooldown timers or a limited mana system, but Dead Cells, you get the thing. So, it doesn't stop there. There are about half a dozen of these.
Oh, boy.
So it went viral because people love to hate on IGN because IGN, they had that paid-for ratings while.
Of course.
I'm sorry, that was GameStop or GameSpot.
Yeah, GameSpot.
My bad. I didn't mean to say that. That's another annoying thing, but IGN didn't do that we know of. People love to hate on IGN, though. This is definitely a problem. It's extreme plagiarism from a small YouTube channel, you know, arguably compared to that. So the update around this is that originally the IGN just took the review down and was like, we are looking into this.
Yes.
Now we have an update. They have let Philip Mewson go.
Yep.
They have distanced themselves and fired him. And that is that. That was a Kotaku article most recently. They have not gotten any information from him. IGN hasn't responded. This guy specifically hasn't responded. But it does seem like some positive things happen. One, somebody got called out, somebody got put down.
Yeah.
Two, this channel got a lot of business, a lot of press, a lot of traffic.
It was good enough for IGN to steal, apparently. Well, I won't say IGN. I'll say this dude.
This one guy.
Because
IGN did not do this.
IGN didn't go, haha, as a company, we're going to do this. IGN, when they were showing this happen, they fired him. They better hope and pray the guy doesn't lawyer up, though. So
Boomstick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
because he's got a case. So
one last thing, because it ties to the song that we are ending on. We're ending on the Picard song by Dark Materia, an oldie but a goodie. And that is to commemorate the fact that Sir Patrick Stewart is returning to reprise his role as Captain Jean-Luc Picard in the next Star Trek The Next Generation sequel, I guess. It's about Picard's life. We're going to see what he's been up to.
Yay.
So I don't have any more information than that right now, but that is awesome. I loved Picard as a character, and Patrick Stewart is fantastic.
To me, he's my favorite cap.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
That actually came out the week of my birthday, way back in the September 23rd, 1987.
Our birthdays are close together.
Except
September 15th.
I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah, you're
I'm
a few years
old fogey. Let's go ahead and end the hour. Thanks for hanging out. We had a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. Didn't talk about it at the front of the hour, but all of our audio, news, reviews, and all that's going to be cut and copied and pasted up online. So we really appreciate all of your viewership and listenership. We will catch you next week. Mm-hmm. And I think that about does it. You have any final remarks?
No, that's you guys have a good one out there, and I'm gonna go try out Dead Cells.
Awesome, Dead Cells. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This has been the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
I said Southeastern.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.